In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, February 27, 2017 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Police shot and seriously injured a knife-wielding 35-year-old German national who attempted to flee after driving a car into pedestrians in the German city of Heidelberg before 4 p.m. local time on Saturday, leaving one person dead and two others injured, reports NBC News. U.S.-backed Iraqi forces pushed into western Mosul on Friday night after retaking the city's airport from the Islamic State, as aid agencies warned the most dangerous phase of the offensive was about to begin for hundreds of thousands of civilians, reports Christian Today. Last Friday, President Donald Trump appeared at the Conservative Political Action Conference in National Harbor, Maryland.
I've been with CPAC for a long time. All of these years we've been together, and now you finally have a president. Finally. Took you a long time.
He took aim at the press.
Sit down, everybody. Come on. You know, the dishonest media, they'll say, he didn't get a standing ovation. You know why? No, you know why? Because everybody stood and nobody sat.
I want you all to know that we are fighting the fake news. It's fake, phony, fake. A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people. Because they have no sources, they just make them up when there are none.
In fact, in light of how acrimonious his relationship has become with the press, Trump tweeted this message on Saturday afternoon. Quote, I will not be attending the White House Correspondents Association dinner this year, unquote. President Trump also told CPAC that he was keeping his promise to get rid of the illegal aliens with criminal records.
We are getting the bad ones out. These are bad dudes. We're getting the bad ones out. People that shouldn't be, whether it's drugs or murder or other things.
And Trump emphasized his America First doctrine.
The core conviction of our movement is that we are a nation that put and will put its own citizens first.
Facebook claimed last Thursday that it made, quote, an error, unquote, by suspending the activist Mommy, a Christian video blogger's account, after she wrote a post about the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality, reports the Christian Post. Elizabeth Johnston, the Ohio homeschool mother of 10, has a Facebook following of 76,000 and was told her post had been removed because, quote, it does not follow the Facebook community standards, unquote. Johnston does not believe Facebook's tale for 1 minute, quote, saying this was an accident is a joke. It took a national news story to get my content returned to my page, unquote. Some of her followers even indicated that share buttons on her posts did not work or that they had to re-like her page. Johnston accused Zuckerberg of, quote, using Facebook as an ideological weapon and punishing those of us who don't submit to the agenda with the suspensions and deletions of our pages, unquote. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. After 85 years in business, Family Christian Stores, which employs 3,000 people in 240 retail sites across 36 states, has announced it is closing, reports Religion News Service. At the time of the bankruptcy protection filing 2 years ago, the company took on too much debt, was hit by the 2008 recession, and was unable to compete with the online sale of Christian books, movies, and music. Dr. Sheila Page, a leading physician who's board certified in neuromusculoskeletal medicine and osteopathic manipulative therapy, confirmed that unborn children feel excruciating pain during abortions, reports the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Proverbs 24:11 says, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. And finally, a 96-year-old woman named Joni in the United Kingdom, who only popped out for a pint of milk and some Werther's Originals candy, became overwhelmed by the 60-mile-per-hour winds of Storm Doris, reports the Daily Mail. 25-year-old real estate agent Dan Barnett spotted Joni from his office window in Surrey as she was clinging to a lamppost for dear life. afraid she'd be blown into the street, he walked her home 5 minutes away. Remarkably, like the Good Samaritan story, three pedestrians had already walked by, refusing to help the senior citizen. One final thought, Joni must really love those Werther's caramels to have braved those winds. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Monday, February 27th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. We want to invite you to join us at the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th, 2017. We are in a worldview war today, just as Noah was when he was building the ark. The NOAA Conference will equip you to disciple your children in an ungodly generation with the right worldview. Admission to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is included for your whole family. Register at noaaconference.org. That's noaaconference.org.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during a period of time in which the Western world is turning against a Christian world and life view, and has been doing that really for 200 years. The ideological, philosophical fathers were doing that in the 1800s, and I outlined the destruction of the Christian West in my book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. So the unraveling of the Western world began with the philosophies of the 19th century, and that, of course, what was taught in American high schools and colleges through the 1900s into the 21st century. And that included private schools as well as public schools that taught a humanist philosophy through the literary classrooms, through the literature classrooms, primarily through the liberal arts classrooms. So how did we get to where we are today? Well, it came through the philosophers and the literary giants, the educational facilities, the universities, and so forth, of the 1800s and 1900s. So here we are now in the 21st century, and man has turned against God. Man has declared war against God. They have set themselves against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "We will break his bands asunder. We will cast his cords from us," meaning that modern man has declared war against God's law. It's God's laws that they don't like. As John Dewey said, we have been set free from 2,000 years of the fixed and the final, referring to what Charles Darwin had done in the 19th century. Because of evolution, man felt that he had finally a theory that had set him free from the existence of God and any moral responsibility to God. Well, the results are obvious all around us today. Interesting article, again, from this time Teen Vogue magazine. And Teen Vogue is related to the Vogue magazine. And, of course, all of this these magazines, the genre of the Vogue magazines, the Self magazines, Cosmopolitan. Self was selfish. I just called it the Selfish
17,
magazine for years.
Yeah, 17 was another one.
17.
Yeah.
All of these things combine sex symbols with feminism. Cosmopolitan, of course, being the magazine formed by the arch feminist, not Betty Friedan, but the other one. I can't remember her name just for a moment. But the fact is, these magazines were formed by feminists. Cosmopolitan, Teen Vogue, Selfish Magazine. These have all been formed by the modern feminists, the modern existentialists of the day that are living life for themselves. And they are self-conscious of that selfish worldview. And they also combine sex symbols with feminism and then complain that people are turning these women into sex symbols.
Objects. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but they've done it in order to glorify the idea of feminism and independence from God's order, from God's social order. Well, recently, Teen Vogue magazine has been in the press because of an article that treated the issue of abortion lightheartedly, suggesting that for those young women, meaning 15, 16, 17-year-old women who have had abortion, they can get over their post-abortion troubles by watching comedy movies and wearing girl power hats. Apparently there are hats with this girl power symbol on it. And if they would just get the hat
and watch comedy movies, that might salve their aching consciences for a short while.
But I didn't think that abortion should cause any conscience trouble, because it's just a massive protoplasm, a little massive tissue that's like a weed or like a puppy, maybe, that they're pulling out of these
women.
Well,
Steve, as you know, these people are made in the image of God. They certainly still have something of a conscience, a moral conscience. They try to suppress it, of course. They try to do what they can to salve it. They will do so with their girl power hats and their comedy movies. But that's what man does. I think comedy oftentimes turns out to be a means by which people can laugh at their sin and then not worry about going to hell, at least for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem like that's going to work.
Well, why girl power hats? That's a question that came to my mind. And I think it's because the feminists want to be sure, whether they're feminists from Cosmopolitan, Self, or Teen Vogue magazine, they want to be sure that these young ladies understand that the independence from their fathers and their husbands is absolutely key to their existence. This is the feminist worldview that's been dominant since the 19th century, and it's the abortifacients, it's the abortions that give them that independence from fathers and husbands and from marriage. And, of course, the independence involves an independence from husbands and fathers, but a dependence upon the state, because inevitably these women run towards socialism, and it's socialism and communism that provides the free contraceptives. So they want to be sure that they have independence from the slavery of husbands, and inevitably they trade it for the slavery of the state, but they'll do that any day, all day long. Why? Because they hate the idea of Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. They hate the Genesis 3 reference to the submission to their own husbands. And so feminism has done just this. Feminism gives three things. It provides three benefits, and they absolutely need all three benefits. If they don't get these three benefits, they're going to be in trouble. Feminism absolutely must provide abortion and abortifacients. They must provide the abortions and the abortifacients through the pill. They absolutely must have their abortions. If they're going to have girl power, if they're going to have independence from husbands and fathers, they've got to have their abortifacients. Then the second thing they've got to have is socialism in order to provide their free contraceptives. And they must have free sex. So those are three things in order for feminism to survive, and feministic women to survive. They absolutely must have abortion. They absolutely must have socialism. They absolutely must have free sex. And all of that, if they have all of that, they will receive that freedom from husbands and a freedom from household economies, something that they eschew, of course, at the very bottom of their hearts, because, well, God said they would in Genesis chapter 3 that they would be opposed to their own husbands, and yet he would have rule over them. That was the thing they didn't want. So they wanted to reverse the curse of the fall, and they want to do it by abortions, socialism, and free sex. These are the trinity of the feminist worldview. They have got to have abortion. They've got to have their socialism. They've got to have their free sex, because all of that will give them a freedom from marriage and the family, a freedom from husbands, and a freedom from household economies. And that's what the modern feminist wants. It's also, Steve, a reversal of Genesis 9.
Yes.
Genesis 9 says, be fruitful and multiply. And they're not doing that. They're killing their kids.
Right.
And also it says, if man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. It's the forbidding of murder. So this is a reversal of Genesis 9 as well. As women in the modern age, friends, this has happened since 1973 in America. So all of this has been accomplished since 1973. All of those abortifacients, contraceptives, the abortions, the socialism that provides the free contraceptives, thanks to George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush and their father in the 1950s, 1960s. So these were the men that provided free contraceptives and free abortifacients and $500 million a year to Planned Parenthood back in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. All of that came about by the feminist dream and the support of George H.W. Bush. And all of that has accomplished something of a reversal of the curse, but they're going to find out it's going to be a poor reversal. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Homeschool Father of Five, Steve Vaughn in studio with me, Homeschool Father of Six. And Steve, you've been silent through this section of the program, but it's helpful that that there are some Christian bloggers out there that are taking a strong stance against the feminism of the day, homosexuality, abortion, some of these salient sins of the day that seem to mark our day. And here's an instance of a homeschooling mom, a mommy blogger named Elizabeth Johnston. She's got 76,000 followers, and apparently she got in trouble with Facebook over citing the Bible on homosexuality. I guess she apparently referred to Leviticus 20:13.
Yeah.
Something that I'm careful not to do.
Yeah. I've noticed that.
Yeah, you got to avoid that or you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
I know, and you've never been in trouble.
Well, yeah. I try to avoid it, don't I?
Yeah.
But, you know, anytime you bring in 1 Corinthians 6, it doesn't matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament. Now, everybody came back on her, or many of her contra posters came back on her and referred to some of the Old Testament food laws as if the Old Testament food laws were something of a proof against the application of Old Testament moral laws in the New Testament.
You mean all of her followers aren't people that are for her?
Yeah, it's apparently not.
Because I thought all the people that listened to you were people that liked you.
Well, you know, from time to time you do get detractors, and apparently Elizabeth Johnston has a few detractors here. She's a homeschooling mother of 10. Her blog is called The Activist Mommy. And she got in trouble over this reference to homosexuality.
Yeah, that was the third strike.
Now, of course, you know, everybody's going to come back and contend Old Testament, New Testament, but the New Testament is very clear. The sexual laws still apply. And we read that in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Food laws do not apply. That's pretty clear because Peter was a recipient of that vision in which God said, here's some unclean meats, kill and eat. Yeah. And so it was very clear that God is taking some of these, what we call stoikikosmou, externalistic laws of the Old Testament, and he's allowing liberty in these areas, but certainly not in the area of incest, 1 Corinthians 5. Certainly not in the area of homosexuality, 1 Corinthians 6. So the Word of God is actually very, very clear on moral issues and sexual issues. It's only the left that wants to make these things unclear for us, only because the modern age is such that the gods of the marketplace have come into town and instructed us that pigs have wings and other beautiful things. And so now we have the new ethic. Now we have the new morality that has been invented for the first time in the world's history. And God's law is no longer applicable after 2,000 years of Christian ethics. So as Christians, of course, we have to stand firm on these things and call people to repentance. This is a gospel issue. And why is it a gospel issue? Because Jesus came to save us from our sins. If you equivocate on one of those words, you're going to be in trouble. And what they want to equivocate on is the word sin. They want to redefine it. They want to redescribe it. They want to move away from God's law as being the definition for transgressions of the laws of God. And we would say, no, we've got to define sin as transgression of the law of God. And we've got to be sure that people understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is that he came to save us because we have transgressed his laws. So this is a gospel issue, and I'm thankful that Elizabeth Johnston is fighting the good fight. She apparently got in trouble with Facebook. They shut her down for 3 days, which means that free speech is increasingly tenuous in the day in which we live.
Yeah. Do you think free speech will actually survive our generation?
That's hard to say, yeah. Especially on issues like this, because obviously homosexuality today is the issue, the major orthodoxy. That is the doctrine of the Trinity for the humanist generation. So, you know, you undermine the doctrine of the Trinity in the Christian church, you're going to be in trouble. You're probably going to be excommunicated from a church. So, but if you undermine the doctrine of homosexuality in the modern secular state, you will be excommunicated from all of the public forums. That's so where we are today, Steve.
It's interesting. It seems like people are afraid of free speech now.
Oh, yes, I think so.
So are you afraid of free speech?
No. I'm not. I'm not afraid of somebody saying something like, I hate Christians.
Oh, that's offensive.
Well, they do that all the time.
Yeah, are you in your free speech zone as you're saying that?
We see that every day. Yeah. You know, people are constantly mocking Christians and hating Christians and so forth. I have no interest in restricting free speech, but it appears that universities in the UK are restricting free speech more than ever. 90%+ of universities are restricting free speech, according to a recent report. Apparently, this is Spiked Magazine did a survey of 21 universities in the UK and found that over 90% of UK universities are now restricting free speech. 63.5% of universities actively censored speech and expression in the last year. This represents a 16% rise on the previous year and an increase of more than 68% since 2015.
Wow.
In just, what is that, 2 years?
Yeah.
In just 2 years, my friends, free speech has been negated in UK universities by 68%. That means by next year.
It's going to be
gone.
Or
the year after that.
Yeah.
People are going to be in prison in the UK for saying something against the politically correct positions on things like homosexuality, transgenderism, and abortion. It appears that that's it. These are the issues. These are the doctrines of the humanist world. So if anybody speaks against the sin of homosexuality or the sin of abortion in universities out in the UK, man, you're going to be in jail in the next 2 years. That's the way it looks. Spiked.com has done a survey and found 63.5% of universities actively censoring speech and expression. Student unions have been pilloried for censoring transphobic speech, enforcing transgender pronouns, but our research, it says, shows that the vast majority of policies in this area come from the universities themselves, the administration. The administration is cracking down hard on free speech in universities in the UK. Of course, the same thing's happening here in the United States.
Yeah, they're afraid of losing their Title IX money and all the other money they're getting from the government. So, you know, follow the money. That's where it's at. But at least they have, you know, in some of these universities, they have these free speech zones, you know, a 4x4 square that somebody could stand in and say what they want. And that's about what you have over there. So I would think that nobody should take offense at what you're saying, because you kind of have your free speech zone right there. You don't move around too much outside of that 4x4 box. So.
However, we do get around the world.
Yes, we do.
100+ nations around the world, thanks to the internet. Very difficult, friends, to get free speech into the public forum today, especially in the UK. Same thing's happening here in the United States. Apparently, the pro-life thing is a big, big problem in the UK. It is much harder for pro-lifers to protest in the UK, especially on universities. Universities being the place in which free speech is being banned almost more than anywhere else in the UK. The universities used to be seen as a place in which, you know, ideas could be exchanged, nobody would be arrested, at least for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years. But it appears that universities become the area in which the closed-mindedness is
much, much greater today than it has been in a long time. Cardiff University, a petition has been circulating demanding the disbandment of Students for Life and accusing the group of exploiting the trauma of abused young women to satisfy their own self-interested political and religious agendas. At the Newcastle University, students put forth a motion to de-ratify the university's pro-life group. The University of Glasgow, attempts to gain recognition for a pro-life society have so far failed, with the Students Association saying access to a safe abortion may be a determining factor in whether or not someone is able to continue their studies. In other words, if you don't get abortion, if you can't have your abortifacients, if you can't have your free sex, you're not going to be independent of the family. You will not be able to destroy marriage. And that is the agenda of the modern world. The entire modern world is wrapped up in destroying the family and destroying marriage. And they'll do it by abortifacients, abortions, and of course, the sin of homosexuality as well. And of course, this is why the colleges are cracking down on these things, Steve. The agenda to destroy the family, to destroy the family economy, to destroy marriage is so powerful right now. The desire to undermine human civilization and destroy our human societies in the modern world, so powerful right now that the universities simply cannot afford anybody to step out and say, you know what? Maybe we need to preserve society. Maybe we need to preserve family for the years to come. Well, that, of course, is intolerable to a society that is in the process of committing suicide. Impossible, my friends. At least, well, I think it's worse than it was 10 years ago, Steve. You think it's worse?
Oh, yeah.
We would bring in speakers at California Polytechnic State University out in San Luis Obispo, California, that would offend the left over and over. We brought in Stephen Mosher. You remember Stephen Mosher wrote a book called The Broken Earth on the forced abortions going on in China? We brought him in. We brought in people opposed to feminism. We brought in pro-life guys. We bring in Phil Kagi to do a pro-life concert. We brought in just about every pro-life activist we could find who could speak to the issue on the campus in 1985, 1986, 1987. Never had any pushback for the administration. Well, we had one or two individuals that would act negative around us and kind of pout a little bit, but hardly anybody would take a stand and push back against ourselves bringing somebody into the student union and speaking on these salient issues of the day from a distinctively Christian perspective. But it seems to me that people today are deathly afraid of anybody speaking the truth. I think it has to do with the fact that they don't want to hear the little guy in the emperor's new clothes procession. Yeah. See, that's just too risky.
Yeah.
If anybody breathes the truth in the public forum, when the truth is so obvious, when the light would disperse the darkness in such a powerful way, those who have a conscience still just cannot tolerate the possibility of anybody breathing a truthful statement while deceit and falsehood is being imposed on the masses.
Yeah, and you also get the threat of violence if you do speak the truth from so many different people. And it's not just the Black Lives Matter people, but it's the faculty, it's other people who just want to suppress the truth. Sounds kind of like Romans 1. They claiming to be wise to become fools, and they suppress the truth to their own destruction.
Well, see, the emperor needs to be affirmed, and everybody affirming the emperor needs to be affirmed. Think about the emperor's new clothes. You'd think about the president or the governor of the state stepping out nude, naked. The truth of the matter is he's naked. The truth of the matter is he's embarrassing himself. But he absolutely needs everybody in the university and everybody in the public forum approving him, affirming him. And the same thing applies to homosexuality. The homosexual is just like the emperor without his clothes.
Yes.
It's an embarrassing, evil, wicked, abominable thing going on, and he knows it. Every homosexual knows it. He knows it. He suppresses the truth and unrighteousness. He does the best he can to sear his own conscience, but he knows it. And if anybody, if one little guy steps out of that crowd in the emperor's new clothes procession and he says, you know,
I think the dude's nude. That will be the highest form of heresy ever spoken in the university or in the procession.
Yeah.
So let's remember this, friends, that people have consciences, and those who have consciences cannot afford to have anybody speak the truth anywhere near them, because their conscience will bear witness to what is being said.
Yeah, and the other part of that story, that, you know, speaking of the emperor's new clothes, is that, you know, they were saying that only the wise will see the clothing. And so only the wise people will agree with homosexuality. Only the wise will agree with feminism. Only the wise will agree with abortifacients and abortion. And so, I mean, if you speak out against it, you're a fool. But you've got to speak out against
it. You've got to speak out against it. Jesus said, "What I've spoken to you in secret, you will speak on the housetops." And the word must be public. It must be publicly proclaimed. And I don't care what kind of pushback you get. I just read a chapter on street preaching from Spurgeon's lectures to his students. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest pastors who's ever lived, certainly the greatest pastor and preacher of the 19th century, writes on street preaching. And he says, you got to get out there and preach the truth. You got to get out there and preach the gospel. You need to call people to repentance and show them their sins and show them Christ. You got to get out into the public forum and speak relevantly to the culture. And he says, you know what? He says, it's refreshing to me when I hear and I read in the newspapers that some street preacher got arrested and thrown in jail. He says, that's just refreshing. Finally, we're seeing that Christians are actually getting the truth out into the public forum, and they're starting to feel a little pushback for it. I'm paraphrasing a little bit of what our brother Charles Spurgeon said, but the fact of the matter is, it's a great thing when Christians are willing to get out in the public forum and be the ones that speak the truth despite the pushback, despite the persecution they may receive as a result of doing it. So friends, it's refreshing. It is refreshing when the light shines in the darkness. It's refreshing when the truth is spoken in the public forum against all of the falsehood of the day. If somebody would just break the silence, if somebody would just break through the falsehoods, if somebody would just break through the darkness and shine a little light from time to time and show the relevance of our Lord Jesus Christ coming to give his life for us in order to deliver us from the bondage of the devil and the bondage of sin, and set us free in Christ, free from sin, free from the bondage of the devil. Friends, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to point out that these people are in bondage. These people, they understand that they are lost in darkness. They see something of this. They don't want to be reminded of it, and oftentimes they will suppress the truth and unrighteousness. But let's be sure that we get the truth out there as often as we can. Do it through the radio, do it through street preaching, do it through sharing with your neighbors, do it in the conversation around the water jug out at the corporate office, but be sure that you get the word out, get the truth out, and you don't have to wax eloquent, you don't have to go on and on and on as I often do on this program, but be sure that you get the truth out there, whatever the cost. Folks, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in the studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.